it. Bye-bye.
This is your Orioles Radio Network Game Rewind.
Tonight at Yankee Stadium in the Bronx. And hello again, baseball fans. Joe Angel and Jim Hunter. Tonight, the Orioles and Yankees in Game 2 of a three-game set. Orioles have lost two straight. The Yankees have won three in a row. The Yankees right now on top in the division. And the Orioles right now, they're 4.5 games off the pace. So the next two games here at Yankee Stadium are going to be, I think you'd agree, of ultra importance. The skipper, Buck Showalter, right after this.
Rock Abatko here with Orioles manager Buck Showalter on tonight's manager's report. Buck, Dylan Bundy, another quality start last night and a loss. How did he look to you overall?
Good, real good. You know, a couple of hiccups there. Got set on change up and he had it up a little bit. But he was actually working with the zone that he could have even got some more breaks. And Dylan, just so proud of the way he's pitched this year. He's really turned into a real professional pitcher and, limits the damage and gives us a chance. I know he's frustrated about, giving it up after going ahead 2-0, but, Dylan gave us a chance last night. He was pretty good.
Edwin Jackson, Stephon Crichton struggled after replacing, after Dylan came out of the game. The obvious question, but how badly do you need somebody now to really step up and be effective in that role, whether it's 6th, 7th, 8th inning, whatever? Obviously, you've had a lot of guys coming in.
Well, initially, you'd like for it to be your starter, but those days are kind of – they're a challenge in the major leagues in today's game, but that's important. You know, there's a lot of phases we need to be better at. You know, I'm not real happy about some of the – other things that we're lacking in that they're ending up in the L column. So, it's hard to hang it around one particular area, but that's something, these opportunities are fleeting for guys. You're going to continue to try to find somebody that can do that job. There's a job there to really be won and to be embraced.
Darren O'Day went on the disabled list after we talked yesterday. Is this basically the same issue we had with the shoulder? And is there a level of concern here because it came back, even though you've obviously provided ample rest for him?
Yeah, I think we could probably have waited a couple of days with Darren and probably got him back. But the way our bullpen is now, we also want to see if we can get this thing cleared up. It's kind of been a nagging thing. And it's an issue that he's had before, and we're pretty familiar with the characteristics of it. And we felt like it was in his best interest and ours to try to see if we can clean it up. So hopefully this will be the last time we have that issue this year.
Rock Abatko back with Orioles manager Buck Showalter on tonight's manager's report. Manny Machado out of the lineup for the third straight night. What's the latest with him?
Encouraging. Manny's feeling better every day. He's making good improvement. A lot less sore today. He's getting a lot closer. And I think, there's a potential of him being able to dodge that DL.
Wellington Castillo came off the DL. He's in tonight's lineup. So everything went good in Trenton last night. He showed everything he had to show.
Yeah, we were trying to – I talked to Gary Kendall, AA manager, after our game. One, to get my mind off our game. But Gary said everything went well, presented himself well, was into it as we knew he would be. Got to see some pitches, good arm versus them. And I also wanted him to kind of give me a little scouting report on Lucas Long, who was pitching over there last night, and that came back with really good reports. Lucas got a chance to help us down the road, and Cassie's ready to go, and he feels good.
You're seeing Luis Severino again tonight. I don't know if familiarity works in your favor, or is it working the pitcher's favor? I'm not sure, but what are your thoughts on him and the fact that you've seen him so many times now?
It's a advantage for a guy with really good stuff. It doesn't really matter. He's a guy that's 50% fastball and throws 98. He's got more than just one pitch, athletic, and he's one of the better pitchers in the American League right now. And I look at it as a challenge to try to beat a good pitcher. And that starts with having a good start out of Chris Tillman.
You've talked about the club hasn't really been adapting to. There's so many pitchers now that are more than 50% off speed. Where does Severino fall in that category? And how do you solve something like that? Obviously, the hitters know this is coming up. You get the scouting reports, yet it's still been an issue.
Well, Rock, without getting too deep, like I said, Severino's about 50% fastball off speed. But it's really all-around baseball. Smitty and I were talking about in the dugout last night, and it's something you have to make a concerted effort to be aware of, and our guys are they grind on it. They're obviously aware of everything, but it's one thing to look for a pitch, and then there's a second part, is it a strike? And you got a quarter of a second that, say you're looking change up or you're looking curveball and you get it, the challenge is to not swing at it when it's out of the strike zone, where most of them are. I mean, before yesterday's outing, their starting pitcher threw 22% strikes, but had credit for 80, you know, I mean 70-something. So that tells you what's going on. And pitchers up here, you can't pitch in the strike zone all the time. You have to make pitches appear as something that's inviting and then take it off the sweet part of the bat. And we've been letting them do that. But we're not the only ones. Everybody's doing it. And that's why you see high strikeouts by teams and you see the power numbers. It's a, you know, it's a feast or famine sometime, and that can get real inconsistent. But it's one thing to look for those pitches, and you got to take your ego out because, you know, 3-1 counts and 2-0 counts are no longer fastballs. It's actually below 50% now, and you've got to realize that the game's evolved and people are not challenging you in what used to be fastball counts.
Lastly, Zach Britton, how's he progressing?
Good. Talked to Zach a little bit today by text, and he had a 25-pitch bullpen session. Went well. Roger talked to Scotty McGregor, and good sink, which is good to hear. Spun some breaking balls. He'll go to a 30-pitch one next time out, and then his next outing, I think next Thursday, will be a live BP, and he'll be on his way.
Thank you, Buck. Take it back upstairs to Joe Angel.
Well, one guy who really wants to pitch tonight is Brad Albie Brock. If he does pitch, most likely it'll be a save situation. Hey, that's a good idea. Brad Brock and Jim Hunter when the warm-up show continues right after this.
On a beautiful night for baseball in the Bronx, we'll visit with Brad Brock up next on the Orioles Radio Network.
Orioles and Yankees, middle game of this three-game weekend series tonight here in the Bronx, and visiting with Brad Brock, who not only is a closer, back into the bullpen, stellar reliever, but a social media expert. And on Tuesday, June 20th, the Orioles will host Social Media Night at the ballpark. And Brad, you are the star of Social Media Night. Who knew?
Yeah, I know, right? I don't know about the social media expert part, but it should be a good event. It should be fun. I'm looking forward to it.
Now, what do you think will happen there with the fans? Because the fans become the questioners, and I know you and Dan Duquette are going to be there, and Ryan Wagner is going to be the host, but what types of things do you think they'll ask?
I think it'd be interesting. I honestly have no idea, so we'll see. Maybe just some, you know, questions about stuff maybe off the field that they're wondering, maybe some hobbies, you know. I'm sure some favorite questions will be asked, stuff like that, but like I said, I really have no idea, but looking forward to it.
Several of your teammates are very active on social media, especially Twitter, and I know you're on Twitter, but you're pretty subtle about it.
Yeah, I mean, I always do the thing, think three times before you tweet something out. I just don't, you know, you never want to be caught up, you know, having your job be affected by what you do on social media. So I'm definitely a little bit more careful, but I look at it a bunch and I kind of see what other people are saying on there. And I like retweeting. I might not tweet a bunch, but I like retweeting or, you know, looking at stuff that I think is interesting.
Now, your wife, Janae, is very active on Twitter and social media. She's on Instagram as well. I mean, she's an expert at it, literally. So if you need help to prepare for this night, you have someone that can help you.
Yeah, definitely. She's really, really good at it. She knows what to put, what to post. She's always worried about what's being posted or what she's going to post next on pictures, stuff like that. So she's really into it. And, you know, I think she enjoys checking it out and putting stuff on there.
The Orioles do so many things within the community, and this is certainly a community event. And it's a little different because the fans become the active part of this. And as a player, I mean, you deal with us all the time. You deal with the written media all the time, but dealing with the fans in that manner has got to be fun.
Yeah, definitely. I think it's one of those opportunities, like you said, you don't get to do very often, is be you know, person to person with fans. And I think anytime you can do that, it's a great opportunity. And it's one of those things I'm looking forward to, just because, like you said, you don't get to do it on a daily basis. And I think it's fun. I think anytime you can interact with the fans, and basically they're the ones controlling what's going to happen, I think it's a great opportunity.
Who do you think's going to get more questions, you or Dan Duquette?
I'm going to say Dan. It's probably going to get probably 10-1 would be my guess. I'm sure the fans have a lot more to ask him than they do me.
All right, let's talk about how the season is going for you. You had that little rough stretch in the middle, but just like last year when you had your little rough stretch, you figured it out. When you get into those stretches, how do you determine what you're doing that you weren't doing, and how do you get out of it?
It's a good question. I wish I could turn these bad stretches into one game as opposed to, I don't know, I guess it was 4 or 5 this time. I'm still learning how to do that, you know. This is one of those games where you got to learn on the fly, and I think if you stop learning, then you're going to fall behind. So I just kind of learned how to get out of those stretches, and I think it was more of a confidence thing than anything else. For whatever reason, those couple days it was a little shaken, and when I feel like when I'm convicted with my pitches and convicted on what I can do on the field, I do really well. But for some reason I go through those little stretches, and hopefully we don't see it again this year.
So even for an accomplished pitcher like you, an all-star last year, you can go through stretches where you're doubting yourself?
Yeah, just a little bit. I think that's really all it was just kind of because the velocity was the same, the movement on the pitches was the same. Location might have been a little bit off. That probably had a lot to do with it. But I think really when it boils down to it, when you're confident when out on the mound, I think when you throw a pitch and you're confident with it, the hitter seems to foul it off as opposed to putting it in play. And that's just kind of seems what happens during bad streaks.
Being a back end of the bullpen reliever, it's kind of fascinating because hitters go through slumps all the time. Even fielders can go through slumps. When someone like you goes through a slump, everybody notices because the game's on the line. Maybe it's not fair, but that's how it is.
Yeah, I mean, that's just part of the back end of the role of the bullpen goes. You're out there in the most pressured situation. That's what you get paid to do, is get the outs there in those types of situations. And like you said, when you do bad, everybody's going to notice it because, like you said, the game's either tied or you lost if you give up the lead like that. So it's one of those things, and that's the reason why I love being out there for that, is because of the pressure and the stuff like that. But it's kind of a two-edged sword.
All right, you've had seven consecutive scoreless appearances. You have a win in that stretch. You have three saves in that stretch. So once you got that first one out of the way, did it all fall back into place for you?
Yeah, I think it was just kind of I discussed it with a few people in the media, just how the coaches all came up to me and kind of just gave me a vote of confidence, saying how everybody knows you're going to be there when we need you. And it's just kind of nice hearing that type of thing of reaffirmation from the coaches that are around you all the time. So not necessarily just the pitching coaches, but like Kirby said something, Bobby said something, JR said something. So it was kind of nice just, you know, all of them just kind of, you know, wanting to push you forward and get you over the little bit of a rough stretch I was going through. So yeah, it was, you know, just kind of great hearing that from them. And that's really all it took, was just kind of get that first one going and just kind of roll from there.
And it's an insight you could bring to social media tonight, because I don't think the fans get to hear that from time to time about players that are professionals and successful and actually have to get back into a confidence mode.
Yeah, and I think it's, for me, I think that's the hardest part of the game, because like I said, the physical stuff is always there and I always make sure I go above and beyond to do the physical stuff, but it's the mental stuff that, especially in the back end of a bullpen role, is to kind of just, you know, you have to be fully confident. That's why I see these guys have been doing it for a long time, and I just kind of, you know, am in all of those guys, because they can just do it for so many years over and over and over again, and it just seems like their confidence never shakes.
Brad Brock on the Great Clips pregame show. Next time, save time with the new online check-in app from Great Clips. No more waiting around, because now we'll be waiting for you. Download our free app today, Great Clips. It's going to be great. And from Yankee Stadium in New York, stay tuned now for Orioles baseball.
All right, hello again, baseball fans. Joe Angel, Jim Hunter back at Yankee Stadium. What a night for the Yankees. What a night for the Orioles. A nightmare. They get beat tonight, and they lose it by a score of 16-3. Yankees, 16 runs, 18 hits, hit 5 home runs, 6 doubles. So 11 of the 18 hits went for extra bases. Judge hit number 19. He had a big night. He knocked in 3 runs. Castro hit one, number 11 for him. Holiday hit one, number 13 for him. Holiday now with 6 home runs in 11 games against the Orioles so far this season. So Holiday hit one, and then later Sanchez hit one to close things out. And they win it by a score of 16-3. So the Yankees, they won the first 2 games. They won 4 consecutive games. For the Orioles here tonight, their 3rd straight loss. And they have now gone 9-19 in the last 28 games. So they are certainly heading right now in the wrong direction. Chris Tillman started the game tonight, and he began the game with back-to-back outs. When he struck out Gardner, he got Hicks on a ground ball. But then Aaron Judge came up to hit, and that's when the Yankee onslaught began. Fly ball hit to the deep left, back in the corner. The ball is hooking. It's gone, a home run. That ball stayed fair. It hooked around the foul pole. It landed in foul ground, but when it left the ballpark, it was fair, it was gone. It's a 1-0 Yankee lead on his 19th home run. What a rocket he just hit. Yep, that ball was hit so hard it didn't have time to go foul. And that's how the Yankee game began tonight in that first inning. Tillman, with 2 outs, wasn't out of it yet. Holiday singled, Castro doubled, and then Sanchez came up to hit. Line drive over J.J. That's a base hit. Here's Holiday coming in. Here's Castro being waved in. The throw and a bounce is too late. That's a 2-run single. So Tillman with 2 outs and no one on gives up the home run and then three consecutive hits, and the Yankees are up 3-0. And it wasn't over yet. Just moments after that, Gregorius came up to hit. So Tillman's thrown just 15 pitches, and he has given up three runs on four consecutive hits. And now he delivers to Gregorius, who drives it to deep right center. My goodness, long gone. Way back in the seats in right center. Maybe 40 rows back there. A two-run home run. And Tillman right now is target practice. 5-0 Yankees. And so D.D. Gregorius with his sixth home run. But the bases were empty, but Tillman wasn't out of it yet. He walked Headley the next batter. And then after a wild pitch to get Headley into scoring position, that's when Chris Carter came up to hit. Yeah, now Tillman again. We'll check the runner at second. He delivers. Carter lines it to left. That's a base hit. Headley to third being waved in. Mancini comes up throwing on a couple of bounces. And again, it is too late. The run scores. 6-0 Yankees in the first inning. So Tillman, first inning, six runs on six hits and a couple of home runs. Now, meanwhile, Severino, the Yankee starter, began the game with a 1-2-3 first and a 1-2-3 second, although Mancini gave him a bit of a scare. Fly ball, left field. Gardner backing up in the corner. Warning track. He's going to reach up, make the catch on the back one-third of the warning track out there in left field. So for Mancini, not quite enough. And Severino is off to a 6-up, 6-down start. Good start for him. Then in the bottom of the second inning, one out, bases empty. Judge came up, and Tillman walked him. And then Holiday came up, and Tillman walked him. So back-to-back walks on eight pitches. And then Castro came up to hit, and again Tillman could not find the plate. And the pitch. Home run. Forget about it. Bullpen. Left center. And the seats behind the bullpen. That's a three-run home run off the bat of Starling Castro. After 11 consecutive balls, he finally threw a strike, and the result was a three-run home run. 9-0 Yankees. Yep, 9-0. Then came the bottom of the fourth inning against the Oriole bullpen. Hicks got a leadoff walk, and the Judge came up. He singled, and so there were two men on base for Matt Holliday.
Here's the 1-0 pitch, swinging a high fly ball to right. That ball has carry. Back it goes, and that ball is gone. Matt Holliday hits it into the right field stands. Another three-run home run, and the Yankees are laying it on the Orioles. It is now 12-0 New York.
And Matt Holliday at that point with his sixth home run in 11 games against the Orioles so far this season. So the Yankees were in total command, and so was the right-hander Luis Severino. He began the game tonight with 12 consecutive outs. Had a no-hit bid until the top of the fifth inning, when Trumbo came up as the leadoff hitter and Severino walked him. That was the first Oriole base runner. After Davis struck out, the no-hit bid was intact, and then Mancini came up to hit again. Mancini hits a ground ball, base hit right field. Hit that ball right through the hole. So Mancini breaks up the no-hit bid. In the top of the fifth inning, Orioles had their first base runner on the Trumbo walk, and now their first hit on a Mancini single. Ah, but they did not score, and the Yankees came up, and they scored again, bottom of the fifth inning. One out, bases empty. Yep, Gardner a single, and then Hicks a double, and then here come the Judge again. Here comes the 3-2 pitch. Line drive, left field, that's a base hit. That ball is headed for the corner. It'll drive in two more. The ball hits so hard, it goes right by Mancini. Up against the fence, the ball back in. Judge is at second base, a two-run double, 14-0 Yankees. My goodness. My goodness indeed. 14-0 at that point. The Orioles against Severino did not score until there were two outs and the bases empty in the top of the seventh inning when the big fella came up to hit.
Davis is 0-for-2 with a strikeout. And the pitch was swung on and lifted to left field. That ball has carry. Ref Snyder is back on it near the bullpen, and that ball is gone. It carries into the bullpen for Chris Davis. So his last at-bat, he was trying to go the opposite way. He does so successfully here. And there goes the shutout as Davis homers. It's now 14-1 New York. For Chris, his 14th of the year.
There you go. And by the way, his second of the season against the Yankees. Then Rickard, who began the game on the bench, well, he got an at-bat in the eighth inning. Here's the 1-2 now to Rickard. Fly ball, left field, pretty well hit. Backing up, Rev Snyder, way back there, wait for it, bye-bye. Rickard has gone deep in the Bronx. He hits a solo to make it 14-2. There you go. So Rickard getting it done, but Yankee is going to win this thing. Is in the eighth inning against Mike Wright. It was Gary Sanchez who delivered another two-run home run, gave the Yankees their final margin of victory as they win it by a score of 16-3. Jim Hunter in a moment on the Orioles Radio Network.
Jim Hunter back at Yankee Stadium where the Yankees beat the Orioles by a final of 16-3, so the Yankees assured of winning the series. For the Orioles, it is just their second series loss within the division, both to the Yankees and both here at Yankee Stadium. They dropped 2 out of 3 when they were here the last weekend of April, and they hope for a win tomorrow to avoid a 3-game sweep. Time to hear from the skipper. Let's head downstairs here with the post-game comments from Buck Showalter.
What was happening with Tillman tonight?
Just not very crisp. If you could see some of the replays of the – we've got a lot to look at. Breaking ball wasn't very crisp. Just a lot of issues with location and stuff.
But he's obviously struggled early on in games this year. Mm-hmm. What do you kind of pinpoint that to?
It came out and threw some quality fastball strikes, first hit or two, and that was I thought he might. That's really a good sign, but and they're good hitters, and they make you pay for the mistakes. He made a lot of them. We made a lot of them tonight, but it just wasn't good.
The offense had a lot of trouble with Severino. What was going on there?
Well, he's got the fifth or maybe now the fourth best ERA in the American League, which means he'd be leading the National League. So he's a good pitcher, really good, and that's why they're having a good year. But I'm not going to fault our guys, especially when you get down. It knocks a lot of air out of your sails.
Was Hardy okay after that kind of semi?
So I just didn't want to another reason why we teach the high-low with infielders, outfielders. I'm glad. Because that normally would have been pretty ugly, but I'm glad Trey remembered how to do it. And two guys going hard after the ball, and I think we got lucky there so far. But I just took him out because he landed pretty hard, but actually the lick and everything I think is okay. But I was trying to get a lot of guys out of that game if I could. Got Adam out early and got Chris off the field, and Cassie felt good. Hopefully he'll be fine to catch tomorrow. Okay. That was good. There was a lot of good things that happened tonight, too. You want to go?
I'm sorry.
Oh, Trey played a great left field. I mean, I tell you what, I'm sure y'all been watching. He made two really good throws to plate, made a great catch down the line. I mean, that's been really, really fun to watch him play left field with limited experience. I thought Blyer had a great outing. I mean, he's had very quietly really having a good early part of the year for us. That's big. There's some positives there.
In games like this that get away, the at-bats in the ninth inning, does that show you something? Jonathan works the walk and Caleb comes off the
well, that's the thing. That's like I said, there's some things that that make you happy. That the I told John, that's a big league at bat he had the last time, taking a walk, and that's a real sign of maturity, not giving in to the moments. And our guys are frustrated, and they'll, I've got a lot of confidence in their responses.
You had to go pretty deep in the bullpen tonight.
Again,
With Crichton and Jackson working back-to-back nights, or you're going to have to make a change or two for them?
Well, I was trying to, if guys pitch well, I'd like to keep them. That's what you're doing, and I was trying to maneuver around where Mike could stay away from a long outing, but, he got into a deep pitch count there too, so I haven't heard anything from anybody yet, so hopefully, I will. Good?
Yeah, great, thank you.
The post-game comments from Buck Showalter as the Yankees beat the Orioles by a final of 16-3. And not only is the pitching struggling as of late, the hitting has been struggling as well. Orioles held the 3 runs on just 4 base hits.